Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Jim, how would you evaluate the team's kind of sense of urgency, puck management this evening?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Domi airs it out. Matthews in, and he scores!
Austin Matthews has been awesome tonight, Jack.
I didn't think our urgency was where it needed to be to prevail tonight. Puck management? I didn't think puck management was a detriment to us. I just didn't think we won enough wall battles to be able to get out of our end successfully.
There's Jim Montgomery. Brilliant goalie rotation last night, to me, was a big factor in why the Bruins lose that game. 3-2. It's now a series. Arcan, you made the point. They pee away home ice advantage. But no harm, no foul. Goalie rotation.
The important thing is the integrity of the rotation gets maintained.
Yeah, who cares about a cup?
Yeah.
Who cares about, like, winning playoff games? Taking a lead. Defending home ice. It's all about rotating goalies and being fair. Meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you call it earlier, Ryan, if you want to lean in for a moment? This is...
Hi. Oh, this is goaltending communism.
And I do think the
you
rotation...
You get no inherent rights... You get what the other guy gets.
Yeah,
you get
right.
As many starts, as many opportunities to win and lose as the
comrade Ullmark.
You're left.
Why don't the Celtics do this with Tatum and O'Shea Brissett? Why don't they do that? Why don't they just even minutes?
Because they're not communist, Jones.
Why don't they just dole out equal minutes to those two? That's weird. So it's hour number three.
They bleed green. They're not red.
Jones and Arcand. I think we've been doing our job today, Arcand. We've been chopping away at this poll all day long.
Not enough.
It was up over 64% earlier. It's now under 63%. How big of a factor was the goalie rotation in last night's loss? It's now under 63% and dropping. Zero. 63% of Bruins fans say it was not a factor at all. None of that is on Ullmark, which is insane. 21%, a little. 16% say a lot. Arcan, one more time, the floor is yours.
To say that Ullmark had a bad game, I think, is wrong. I think that Ullmark played a pretty good game. I thought that he was, especially in the first period, I thought that he covered for them a lot because the Bruins were not playing well. I don't think they played a good game around him. I'll agree with all of that. But Ullmark has been in net for two games against Toronto, and he's allowed six goals in the two games. Jeremy Swayman, three games, one goal per game. He's been dominant against them. He is a brick wall against them. What we're seeing here right now is not that, you know, the rotation is super important. It's not that, because last year the rotation wasn't important. They went with Ullmark, and when he crapped out, they went with Swayman. We are seeing the organization say loud and clear in big, bold letters, we don't trust you, Jeremy Swayman. We don't care what you've done this year. We don't care how the year's gone. We don't care about any of that. We didn't trust you against the Islanders when Tuukka Rask tore his groin. We still put him out there instead of you. We didn't trust you against the Hurricanes in 22. Had Linus Allmark start that series, and after two games, we pulled him, and you had to play the rest of it. But we didn't trust you to start it. We didn't trust you last year against Florida, where we also had to bring you in relief, but not enough to start. And in fairness, last year, Allmark won the Vezina, so I kind of get that one. But now they still don't trust him. We don't trust you now. We didn't trust you in any of those situations, and we still don't trust you now. And now you don't have any momentum. You don't have home ice advantage anymore. This series, I think, should have been a cakewalk. And the reason why it isn't is because you're stuck on this idea that you can't trust Jeremy Swayman. So if I'm Jeremy Swayman, yep, and they stick with this for the rest of, uh-huh, of the playoffs, in this offseason, I'm demanding a trade. I'm saying, get me out of here. Send me somewhere that is going to believe in me and that is going to let me be the goalie for this team. And when the playoffs come around, I'd like to have that sort of trust, or have you trust me the way that you've trusted other goalies in the past when you've won Stanley Cups and when you've gone on Stanley Cup runs with Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask and Linus Allmark and everybody else. But they won't give this to Jeremy Swayman for some reason. They just refuse to.
They don't.
And they don't believe in him.
Okay.
And the fact that we're at this point now in the season and they're still going with the rotation, Jeremy Swayman goes out there and dominates against a team that he's been dominant against this season, and they still go away from him. If I'm Swayman, I've had enough of this. I've honestly had enough of this bullcrap. Get me out of here. Thank you, Deion. Send me to another team that will believe in me, Deion Sanders style, and get me out of this place where you just refuse to put any trust in me.
Okay, so one more time. The Bruins lose game two. Allmark gets the start. They don't believe in Jeremy Swayman, which I agree with. I think that's fair. Swayman should do what, Arcand?
Demand a trade.
I like it.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
I like it. It's a good take. It's a good take. I wish I thought of it. And so, look, on top of it, Bruins fans who want the goalie rotation, and there's a lot of you out there. We'll hear from you. 617-779-7937. You want the rotation, right? So you shouldn't want to pay Swayman. Isn't Swayman not worth the money? If Swayman can't play back-to-back games in the postseason, if they extend Swayman in the offseason, they're morons, aren't they? He can't even play back-to-back games.
Right.
He can't even play two games in a row. He hasn't done it since February 19th and 21st. You should think it's stupid for the Bruins to pay Jeremy Swayman. Now, I think it's smart. I would pay him. I mean, obviously, there's a threshold somewhere there where I'm going to have a limit on it. But in a vacuum, I'm paying Jeremy Swayman. I want to lean on him as the goaltender of the future. But the Bruins don't want to do that. And I'm with you, Arcand. Let's walk through the goals last night. Allmark was definitely a factor. To say it's zero factor is so stupid. And I can't prove that Swayman would have won the game or would have got some of the stops last night, but he looked better in game one. Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
He looked better in game one.
How can anyone not agree with that?
Than Allmark looked last night. So you have a better chance of winning the game with Swayman, which really should be the goal. Not keeping everybody happy, not goalie communism. The real goal should be winning playoff games, which, did they win or lose last night, Arcand? I forget.
They lost.
Oh, they lost. Oh, right. They lost.
Don't tell the rotation people game. This because they're still acting like they won and that this whole thing's going perfectly. It's going very smoothly. The rotation's really working, guys,
so,
even though they lost.
Let's walk through the goals last night. The first goal came 14 seconds after the Bruins took the lead. I don't really blame Allmark for anything specific on that goal.
Weird bounce.
Other than, could you hold the lead for more than 14 seconds? You just jumped out at home. Let the crowd get into it. Give the team a lift. They couldn't even take a breath. Next thing you know, the puck is in the back of your net. Nothing specific, just more general. Like, I don't know. Hold on to the lead, Allmark. The second goal was soft. It's a power play goal. I generally don't get on goaltenders for giving up a power play goal, right? You have one less guy out there. I get it. But he got a good, clean look at that one. It beat him near post. So
it wasn't like some crazy one-timer. It was just a wrister from the circle,
it
and it went past them.
It wasn't, you know, an all-world player roofing it, picking a corner. That's not what happened. Tavares, who's mostly a plumber at this point in his career. You like that back there, Jacob? You like that take? Mostly a plumber at this point in his career.
The Maple Leaf jammies.
Barely lifts it off the ice, and Allmark can't stop it. So I thought that was a soft goal, but at least it was on the power play. I get it.
It's a beer league special goal.
The third goal, Austin Matthews is an all-world player, was filthy. I get it. Led the league in goals, 69. He's unstoppable. I got it. Very nice, 69.
Nice.
I get it. Allmark's not allowed to make the save there? He's not allowed to do it, Arcand.
No, goalie, because Jones, no one's ever made a save.
Your goalie can't possibly bail you out there.
On
it's not allowed.
Before. It's never happened.
No goalie would do it. So I think you can pick apart all three of the goals. And to me, that means on some level, Allmark hurt you last night. Now, look, there was a second power play goal that got waved off. It was the right call, and Toronto scored later on that power play.
Mm-hmm.
Allmark also gave up another one on the near post in the second period where he had to pull it back across the line.
Right. Yeah.
There's no visual evidence that didn't beat him, but I think it beat him. His reaction tells me it beat him is what I think.
I thought they might actually do that.
So the only reason I point that out is because it was close to being a much larger night for Toronto is all I would say. Never mind some of the posts that bailed him out, but the same thing happened to Swayman in game one, if I want to be fair. So I don't think Allmark was tremendous last night. I think he was fine. I think the Bruins had other problems.
He had some stretches where he was very good, too, I think. Okay. I thought it was a couple of stretches where he looked very, very good out
you
there.
Know,
but you got to play the whole game.
Every goalie has a nice stretch. You know, Samsonov last night went post to post, made a couple of nice saves.
Yep.
Like, that happens. So goalies make nice saves. But who gives you a better chance to win, the rotation or Swayman? 617-779-7937. And can you really tell me with a straight face it had zero to do with last night? You won't even meet me in the middle and say it had a little bit to do with last night. Let's hear from the head coaches, Jim Montgomery, after the game. Monty says, yep, nope, can't second guess it.
On the net mining decision, I think who's guessed as well, but the net mining decision, Allmark tonight, what went into that and any second guesses as a result of what took place?
No second guesses. He was terrific. He made multiple big-time saves, and it's the strength of our team. Both of them played really well, right? I mean, we only scored two goals.
Ah, they only scored two goals. We just got that on the text line, too, Arcan. 3-7, 93-7. They scored two goals. Not going to do it in the playoffs. Would two goals have won game one?
Yep.
Would two goals have won all the games this season against Toronto?
Every single one of them that Swayman started.
That's what I meant.
No, it wouldn't have, because back in December they played and they won 4-3 in overtime. He gave up three goals in that game, too. So that wouldn't have been enough for the other Allmark game. But for every Swayman game, yes, two goals would have been enough.
Give me the numbers again. Swayman versus Toronto this year?
Swayman versus Toronto, three games, he's allowed three goals. In two games, Allmark's allowed six.
Okay. And Allmark's lost a game. Swayman is undefeated?
Yes.
Okay. Undefeated feels better. Not losing feels better than losing. Giving up one goal a game feels better than giving up three goals a game. Let me give you one more stat. I like this. Linus Allmark has given up 12 goals to Austin Matthews in Matthews' career. It's the sixth most. Any goalie in the league. He's been as successful as just about any other goalie in the league against Allmark. Two goals against Swayman. Now, more games against Allmark,
sure.
I get it. But who do you think Matthews feels better against?
Is there any question? On
that breakaway, who do you think he feels better against reading and scoring against? The guy who scored against 12 times, the guy who scored against two times, the guy who shut him down in game one, or the guy who he feasted on last night?
There's no question. There's literally no question. It's 100% he feels better about Allmark. And before everybody calls in and starts saying, oh, you guys didn't watch the game, the rest of the team wasn't good, I know. I know the rest of the team wasn't good.
Yep.
I don't think the rest of the team is that good. I think that the only chance that they have is if one of their goalies gets really hot. In this case, I'm going with Swayman because he's better and he's better against Toronto. That's the only chance this team has, I think, to go on a deep run. I don't think they can do it on their own. I don't think they can do it with Linus Allmark's mediocre goaltending. This is the result you're going to get. Swayman, I think you have a chance with. I don't think you have a chance with Allmark.
Okay. I will say this. The idea that it's just about everybody else around him, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yes.
That sounds like Tuca.
Tuca talk.
This is Tuca talk all over. The Tuca defenders would not allow you to criticize a goal that Tuca gave up. Nothing was Tuca's fault. It was always the play around him. He would save the ones he was supposed to. He would give up the ones he was supposed to. And at the end of the day, he always choked. Sometimes, Arkand, sometimes you need your goalie to bail you out.
Sometimes.
How did the Bruins win their only cup in the last half century?
With the greatest goalie performance, one of the greatest ones we've ever seen.
Okay. Not everybody can be Tim Thomas.
Which I don't think Swayman's going to give you, by the way, but I think you have a better chance with that.
Not everyone can be Tim Thomas. But the only way they won was a goalie standing on his head. And Thomas had some real bad games in that run. But when they needed him, he stood on his head. Blank Vancouver in Game 7. Tuukka Rask, that style of goalie, the goalie who gives up the goals he's supposed to, but never saves the ones he's not supposed to. You can't ever really get on him. You can't ever criticize him. McAvoy could have made a play on the Matthews goal. Who was in the box on the power play? So you can't blame him for that one. It's a power play. The first one, it was a bad bounce. It sounds like we're talking about Tuukka all over again. And it's annoying, quite frankly.
And it was never enough. You know, it was never enough. Tuukka was never good enough for that because the rest of the team wasn't good enough to win those series. It's just, I'm sorry, that's the unfortunate truth of these Bruins and this group, is that the only time they were ever good enough to go all the way was when Tim Thomas took it to another level. And Tuukka was never really able to do that. He couldn't do it against the Blackhawks. He did that one year against the Penguins in the championship round. But on the in the finals, he just couldn't do it. And he wasn't able to do it after that either. And now you have an opportunity here with an unknown in Jeremy Swayman, because you know what Ullmark is. At this point, we all know what Ullmark is. We're not totally sure what Swayman is because his team refuses to hand over the reins to him, and they're refusing to do it again, and I'm just pissed. I was pissed off since 6:45 last night.
Well, you should be. We're Swayman guys. You know, Mego's not here today. As the Twitch chat pointed out, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, did Mego call out again because she's allergic to Bruins talk? Could be. It could also be. She's hashtag Team Ullmark. And there were a couple of Swayman guys here. I said last night, the second I found out Ullmark was starting, I'm rooting for Toronto. I was rooting for Toronto last night. And I desperately, desperately want the Bruins to win this series. I'm take committed. I said they'd go further without Bergeron than with him last year. I want the Bruins to advance. They're not going to advance if Ullmark keeps playing. They're not going to. So sit his ass down after that game. It should be Swayman's net. That's why I was rooting against him last night. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have Rob Bradford standing by. And it's good timing because we just got an awful update on Tristan Cassis. We have the latest here in our trending from Ryan Garvin, and we're right back with all your thoughts and Bradfo next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of Jones and Mego
on WEEI.
Right now, unfortunate event last game in that first at-bat. After that 3-1 swing, just came up with a lot of pain in my midsection. We're getting the details a little more in-depth. As we speak, and I'm going to Boston today to get some reevaluation done and some more testing, so we'll know more about it. But for right now, just a lot of pain in my midsection. I don't know the like vocabulary necessarily of where it directly is, but I just knew it was something abnormal that couldn't let me play any longer in the game.
Tristan Cassis over the weekend in Pittsburgh. Red Sox sweep the Pirates. They could, emphasis could, get back on the field tonight in Cleveland. First pitch is supposed to be about 90 minutes from now here on WEEI. We'll get the latest on the game status from Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and WEEI. He joins us in about 5 minutes here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. No Mego today. But what's the latest again, Ryan or Arcan, whoever has it, on Tristan Cassis? It's a fractured rib?
Fractured rib. He's going to be out a while, according to Alex Cora.
Okay. Wouldn't call that promising. And I do or I have gained some begrudging respect for Cassis. When he first came up, I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's sunbathing in the outfield. He's walking around barefoot. Some of the same criticism, in fairness, that I have of J.J. McCarthy. Odd duck, weird personality.
He said he had immaculate footwork, and I would watch him just olay the baseball. Like, if it touched him, he would drop dead on the spot.
Arcand and I argued about him early on last year. I'm like, look, he's hot for a month. I've seen this with Bobby Dalbec. I've seen this with Jackie Bradley. I'm not going to buy in on a month of Tristan Cassis when he was ice cold to start the year. Cassis is legit. He's not Bradley. He's not Bobby Dalbec. He's legit. And his weird personality, I've actually kind of grown to respect, because Ryan said this before. It might be a work. He might be like in on the joke, Arcand. Right. So he might be leaning into that, if you will. So
I think he's also weird, though.
Fine.
I mean,
But I've grown to respect that a little bit. And whatever, he can play. I can put up with a weird personality if he can play.
Manny was weird.
Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm.
And, not that he's Manny, but, you know, weird guys can play.
You're weird.
It might bother me from time to time, but I can put up with it if he can play. I don't know that J.J. McCarthy could play. When I didn't think Cassis could, it bothered me more. And I have grudging respect. Later on in that clip, I didn't ask you to pull it, Ryan, but later on in that clip, he said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, yeah, this started in Cleveland, against Cleveland. And I played through it. He was swatting home runs through this thing in his rib cage, a fractured rib. And he made it worse by playing through it, which I guess maybe wasn't the smartest thing in the world. But that's a guy who's tough. He's playing through the injury. Meanwhile, Tyler O'Neill is back in the lineup. He's beating Rafael Devers back into the lineup. And I know Devers played a couple of games after their collision. He's beating Devers back into the lineup when Devers single-handedly took out Tyler O'Neill. So I respect the toughness of Cassis. There's more toughness there than I thought. But this is a big blow to the Red Sox. If he's going to be out for quote-unquote a while, I mean, look, they were able to sweep Pittsburgh. That's nice.
Right.
How long can you do that without Cassis? That's a real loss. Devers long-term would be a real loss. I put this in a totally different category than Story, which I think is an overblown loss.
Yeah, sure. And, I mean, O'Neill, too, was their best hitter going into when he got hurt. It was a short-term thing. So, I mean, they've already suffered a bunch of injuries. And league-wide, I mean, this is a huge problem. But so I'm not going to cry for the Red Sox. But I do think that there is, at some point, I mean, for them to go out there and sweep Pittsburgh with all the stuff that happened, I think was kind of impressive. I mean, they didn't just sweep them. They beat the crap out of that team. And that's a team that got off to a good start before that Mets series. So I don't take that lightly. I do think that there is some character on this team. And I think that the adversity that they're seeing early on in the season and the fact that they're still above 500, which is higher than I had expectations for them. I thought they were going to finish the month under 500. I guess they still could. But right now they're three games over and they're holding strong in their position in the AL East. And this team has some character. It seems like that so far anyway. So, you know, it's nice to see them go out there and battle. But eventually talent wins out and all their talented players are getting hurt.
All right. So we'll add this to the list. We'll talk to Brad Foe in a couple of minutes here on Jones and Mego with Arcand. No Mego today. A lot of you waiting patiently on the goalie rotation. Patrick is in Manchester. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on? I completely agree with you guys. Like, why the hell would they put Allmark in? I mean, Swayman was playing great. He owned the Maple Leafs. You stick with them, especially at home. And by the way, the other thing is a couple other points that I made.
Yeah, well, Patrick, let's stick with the first one. Why did Allmark get the start? Here's what Allmark had to say. After the game, he explained why he got the start, and I can cut this off once it gets rolling.
As far as the rotation goes, you getting tonight?
No, you know, it's just I'm very grateful every time that I get the opportunity to go out there and play. You know, it's the most fun time in this year, so I don't take anything for granted. I don't see that, you know, anyone should have any more stars than the other. It's all about compete and performance.
Stop.
And also,
I don't think anybody should have more starts than the other.
Nope.
Okay, so, like, that's laughable. That's a joke.
That's goaltender communism.
But I think it's goaltender communism, as Ryan called it earlier. But I
can hear Nikolai Volkov singing the Soviet anthem when he says that.
That's how the organization – I don't think that's just how Allmark feels. That's how the organization feels. And I think Swayman's the one guy who's like, guys, can I play more? And so I know they pretend they're best friends, and I know they pretend that it doesn't bother anybody, and they both like splitting time. They don't. Swayman said after game one, it's about time he got a game one. And then Allmark comes out and goes, oh, I don't think anybody should get any more starts than the other. That's a joke.
We must have faith in the masses. We must have faith in the party. If we doubt these principles, we shall accomplish nothing. And other communist slogans, basically, is what I'm going for there. But yeah, I mean, that's that's ridiculous. And that's, unfortunately, I think the way that they're looking at it. I think that's how they're looking at this. Listen, this is what worked all year long in the regular season. In the regular season, I think that there's some merit to that, by the way. I think there's some merit to splitting it up and going even 50-50 in the regular season. These are the playoffs. It's different. It should be treated differently. And historically, I mean, you know, if you want to take the injuries out of it, it's probably closer to 90. But in the last 10 years, one goalie on the cup-winning teams has made 87% of the starts. 87%. There's no 50-50 splits. There hasn't been a 50-50 split on a cup winner in the last decade, further back than that. I only went 10 years back. But, I mean, come on. This is something that's backed up by numbers, by history, by everything. And they're just getting way too cute with it.
Real quick, before we get to Brad Foe here, people are wondering where Mego is. Bobby in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, says, does Mego still have a case of the Mountain Doo-Doos? That's a good question.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I think that is what's going on. We'll see if Mego is back tomorrow.
Mountain Dukes.
Who's coming up next on Jones and Noro with Arcand?
That's a good question. We'll see. Maybe she's waiting for Allmark to get a win before she shows her face again. Joining us right now here on Jones and Mego, without Mego, Arcand alongside is Rob Bradford of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and WEEI. He's presented by McFarlane Energy, Arcand.
McFarlane Energy.
Thank you. The region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Bradford, how are we doing?
There's two things that brought a smile to my face today. You yelling McFarlane and also the Mountain Dew Dew line. I'm sitting here. Looking at a barren progressive field, field, tarps in the field, raining out, this miserable day, and you brought a smile to my face. So thank you for that.
Okay. Well, shout out to Bobby there in the Twitch chat. Let's start with where you just left off. Are they getting this game in tonight?
You know, you hear conflicting reports. It's not going to be great tomorrow either, which would be a doubleheader. I think that if I had to guess, I do not think they're going to get it in. But that's you know, slightly more than a 50% guess. So it's right now, I can tell you, it's raining. It doesn't seem like the rain's going to stop anytime soon.
Here's all we care about, because Keefe has a wall-to-wall draft coverage on Thursday night. Are we gonna have a doubleheader on Thursday that bumps the draft coverage?
No. They wouldn't have a disaster. Okay. I mean, this is already putting a big hint in the Detroit party. You know, planned if you have a doubleheader tomorrow, but
were they going to go to the game? I heard them talking about this a bit today. Were they going to go to the game in Cleveland? That was going to be a pit stop.
Is a Winnebago going to stop?
I don't know. Maybe I misheard. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Maybe I misheard. But I thought that's what I heard.
I hope not, because they would be walking into a rainout. But I don't think because that's a getaway day. I don't think that game's going to be touched. So. It'll be, once that game ends, it'll be free and clear. All draft talk. Let's go. Perfect.
Very good. Another reason to be depressed today, Brad Foe, aside from the weather, is the Tristan Casas news, which we just heard, a fractured rib. You just tweeted something that made me even more depressed than that news, which is that Dalbec is going to be getting the majority of the starts at first base. How long do you think that's going to go for? Is there another move maybe to be made here? Is there anybody who can get a call up or something like that other than Bobby Dalbec, who's hitting under 100? Like, what? Can you please make me feel better about this?
I probably won't make you feel better, but so this is what just went down. We had Alex Cora. We met with Alex Cora, and he gave the Casas news. But within the Casas news was a lot of Bobby Dalbec. Bobby Dalbec is our guy. I think at one point he said Bobby Dalbec is our first baseman. Oh. He cited 2020. Was it 2021? Yeah, that's when Schwarber came up. So of running him out there, of leaning on Dalbec. And so there's a lot of right now as we sit here, okay, Bobby Dalbec is a first baseman. You know, they'll probably give him a couple weeks, see what happens, see if he can catch fire, and then go from there. In terms of calling guys up, they're in the really of a 40-man roster bind. There's not a lot of movement they can make there. They already have a bunch of guys on the 60-day, so you can't really use that option. So there's not a lot of things they can do. So you can call, in other words, you can call up a guy like, say, Nico Cavadas or someone along that lines, but you would have to put him on the 40-man roster. But it's not that easy. And they have to really, really make sure if they make that move and take somebody off, it's going to be something that's going to be over the long haul. And I don't think they see anyone right now that probably they see this is a long-haul guy.
Okay, so I wanted to ask about this because I pretty much don't expect the Red Sox to add anything, John Henry to spend any money. They didn't do it all offseason. We asked you week after week after week, Jordan Montgomery, how about now? How about now? How about now? But they've had guys dropping like flies. We've talked about Trevor Story before. Now Cassis is going to be out. They're playing Pablo Reyes, God love him. You know, they've moved Rafaela from center field to playing on the infield more. You're going to be playing Dahlbeck every day. Like, at what point does ownership step in and say, we're going to get some big leaguers in here? Is that just, you know, wishful thinking on my end? Is that in play whatsoever?
No, I mean, I think that this time of year, typically it's a little bit more difficult to do that, whether it's trades or whether it's certainly, you know, you're going to have on May 1st, you're going to have some guys opting out. So, you know, you're not talking about big ticket items. And right now, you know, there's not a lot of guys. There's not a lot of feasible options. You say, oh, that's a difference maker. And really, when it comes to paying money, I don't disagree with you. I mean, there's plenty of options and alternatives that they could have paid money for and maybe won out and got them for depth. But it's just been a tidal wave that nobody could have seen coming. Now, this go to first base. Did they cover themselves enough at first base if something like this happened? You know, they went out and got C.J. Cron. He was there in spring training. Dahlbeck beat him out, and that's where we are. But to answer your question, are they going to go out and have this shock and awe move to make up for some of these injuries? Not right now, but it comes back to exactly what we've been saying for a long time. Everything we know how they approach the offseason. The next step into how we're going to view Craig Breslow is all about June, July, and early August. That's how they view the trade deadline, and if they're in it at all, if they're going to do exactly what you just suggested they should do.
Brad Foe, earlier on in the season, Alex Cora talked about Fenway Park and how it's not a great place for, you know, or a tough place for opponents to play anymore. He talked about Sweet Caroline and the other fans coming in. And I think we talked with you about this. So far, it's early in the season. The Sox are 10-3 away from Fenway and 3-7. Is there something about the way this team is constructed maybe that makes them not a good match at Fenway Park?
No, I think it's the teams they're playing. They're better teams. And you know, obviously they play Cleveland, and now we're going to find out if they could actually play better against them on the road. But yeah, in terms of the games at Fenway in the crowd, I'll say the same thing I said last week, which is it doesn't. There's no sense of the crowd impacting the game. And that doesn't happen a ton in baseball, but there are examples of this happening in baseball. There isn't that feeling of you're going to go to Fenway Park and it's going to feel like these fans are on top of you and they're going to actually impact the game. Instead, as we've said multiple times, it's become too much like Club Fenway. And I said it, I think, last week. It's bizarre to me. And I saw, I forget who tweeted it out, but, you know, the Red Sox have been living at 80% capacity, which is not a lot of teams are doing that. But I just know this, is that I see in the third to fourth inning a lot of college kids, a lot of younger people coming in the game really, really late. I don't know how they're filling it up, but they're filling it up. But I do know this, when you get those people in, it's not like Citizens Bank Park. It's not like Yankee Stadium. It's not like, hey, you know what, we're here to impact this game, and that's where they got to get to in order to change that narrative.
I hope so, and I think that you're probably right. I mean, the teams they've played have been different, to be sure, but I always remember in the past, certainly in the off seasons, Red Sox will pick up a guy and they'll say, oh, this guy's great for Fenway, like a right-handed power bat or something. This guy's really going to help them at Fenway. This team doesn't have many right-handed power bats, if any. You know, could it be something? Is there anything to that at all?
No, I think that Tyler O'Neill is honestly that guy. And if you watched Tyler O'Neill take batting practice, you're like, oh, that's the guy. That'll work at Fenway. There's a broken windshield, you know, in the parking garage to suggest that's the case. And he got hurt obviously on Monday, so didn't play a bunch of games. But I hear what you're saying, Christian, and they have done that in the past. And I do feel like Tyler O'Neill is sort of that guy. And another part of this equation, which I want to see more of, is Abreu. We're seeing the good Abreu, not the Abreu who struck out almost 30 times in spring training. So will that make a difference? So I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle with them at home, but I'll come back to what I said before. I would like to see where it gets to what it was, you know, at the end of 2021, where, yeah, you have Club Fenway, but then the people in between pouring beer in their face is actually paying attention to what's going on the field.
Yeah, I'd settle for just a full building with pouring beer on each other's faces. I would settle for that. But okay, real quick before we let you go, Brad Foe, I've said before, I don't think their pitching is sustainable. I don't believe in it. I didn't believe the approach was going to work over the long haul. It's smoke and mirrors, blah, 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 right? At what point do we got to look at it and go, all right, maybe this is just what they're going to be? I mean, not this dominant. The numbers will come up, but they're going to be a good, solid rotation all year long.
I think that we still don't know. It's still early. And I think everyone, including you, have the right to say, hey, let's wait till May, let's wait till June, let's wait till July. But I do think that some of these guys, for whatever reason, with the Cutter Crawfords and the Tanner Houck of the world, they have found something in their careers, something in their skill set that they have clicked and make it work. Now, the problem is that you just can't keep peeling off guys. You can't keep having guys get hurt because you just simply don't have the depth. The one takeaway for this entire team, guys, is not even a question, is that you're sitting here at 13-10 with a team which we're looking at. How the heck are they 13-10? Well, if you ever want to know the importance of starting pitching, well, here you go. Here, the 2024 Boston Red Sox, that's how you stay in it, by actually having good starting pitching, because we've been through plenty of years where it's been painful and you've had much more talented teams that weren't 13-10. So, yeah, so this is whether they're going to be able to keep it up or not, they're going to have to if they're going to keep in this conversation.
All right, he's Rob Bradford. You can check out his latest at the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, also all over WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter at Bradfoe. Who was the latest guest? I heard Rich Hill was on there, right? I was listening to some of it. He was
he's a staple. Yeah, he's a staple.
He was complaining. Yeah, he was complaining about the baseballs, just like Kenley Jansen. He was crying about baseballs.
Well, he's very scientific. You guys go listen to it, but he actually had some good solutions, right? We just not just complaining about it. But when we have the baseballs, when we have the injuries, let's have some solutions. Much like I want a solution to whether or not we're going to play this game so I can get dinner reservations or not. So let's go.
Okay, sounds good. Check out all of Brad Foe's latest. Again, Baseball Isn't Boring. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday, Rob.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Rob Bradford joins us here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. No Mego today. I was listening to some of Rich Hill on the podcast, and it was just, you know, maybe there were some solutions in there. It's still, pitchers love to cry about the baseballs. They love to cry about the pitch clock and the baseballs. There's a lot of that going on.
Rosin and sunscreen. Can we just go back to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
The bullfrog, right?
Was that sure.
Bullfrog no, that's stuff? Too much.
No. Bring back the bullfrog.
What do I care?
Yeah, good point.
Works for me.
Let's just have these guys, you know, throwing frisbees out there.
So, look, I want offense.
I'll take that over them all blowing their elbows
fastballs
out.
Fastballs defying gravity.
I want offense, but if you're telling me this will get pitchers to go like 7 and 8 innings again because baseball needs that.
Okay, fine. The juiced baseballs, we get rid of the humidors or whatever they got. Juiced baseballs like they did 2 years
juice
ago.
Juiced baseballs.
And you can use the Trevor
Sticky
Bauer
stuff.
Concoctions of
yep.
the bullfrog, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, all the tack you need. And on
cook
top
it
of
up
that,
in a Coca-Cola can.
And let's bring back like the Barry Bonds level steroids. Yeah.
I want
those
the pitchers
back.
Coming out all sweaty before the game starts because they're using the using the bullfrog.
Yeah. That's,
you know, like Clay Buchholz.
So
all greasy coming out of the dugout.
Tacky substance, juice baseballs, Barry Bonds level steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Mark McGuire level steroids. Now we're talking. Okay, can we do that?
Pitch clock, that's 9 seconds.
Yeah, right. Now baseball really isn't boring.
I want the ultimate warrior steroids.
617-779-7937. What's coming up in Triple Play today?
Triple Play today is a over-under Tuesday. We're going to go to Celtics buzzer beaters, potential ones, innings for a certain pitcher tonight, and Andy Reid with his new extension. We'll have an over-under for him as well.
Okay, that's next in Triple Play.
It's going to be a Triple Play!
It's time for the Triple Play.
Yes! Triple Play!
Top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
It's 4:45 on a weekday. That means it's time for a Triple Play, which is sponsored by the 99 Restaurant. The 99 now has early week supper specials. Enjoy a delicious roast turkey dinner every Sunday. Hearty meatloaf every Monday. Arcan and crispy spinach and artichoke chicken every Tuesday.
That
you gotta
Tuesday,
love the nines.
Chicken with the artichokes. That's what I like.
Did you just groan?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Homer Simpson.
That Sunday turkey one, yeah. Because it's been a while. We haven't heard these 99 reads in a while, so I'm, you know.
I haven't.
I'm thinking about that chicken artichoke thing again.
Lucas and I haven't done a 99 run in a little bit. He has he's got his skate right by the 99 in Charlestown.
Right,
so
yeah.
while that was going on, we
know
go there.
Kids eat free. The Red Sox have been winning.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wrapped up a little while ago, and we used to go after the Saturday skate there. But now I haven't been over there in a while. Maybe we should get back in there. You're saying Tuesday nights are the night, huh?
Tuesday night, that's when the chicken artichoke thing is on special. So, yeah,
go watch a hearty from Christian Arcan. It's Tuesday, Arcan Jones. It's an over under Tuesday, so let's get right to it.
Number one,
Jones, the over under of Celtics playoff games that will end in a buzzer beater. The over under we have set is at 2.5.
2.5? Under. 2.5. They're gonna win on buzzer beater. I guess it could end.
No,
game.
It doesn't have to be a win. Any game. Like, basically, how many close games do you think they're gonna be?
Yeah, and
that'll come down to the last shot.
And look, it come down to the last shot,
and it doesn't even have to go in either.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I'm still gonna say under because I think the Celtics are gonna go on a big long run, and to do that, they're gonna have to blow people out. Because if they're playing a bunch of tight games, they're not gonna win them. I think we've learned that. I watched Jamal Murray hit the game winner last night. I was in and out on Philly and New York. It was a great NBA night last night. I saw all the highlights. But in real time, I was not locked in on Philly and New York. I watched that whole Lakers game last night, almost, you know, from beginning to end. And I certainly the whole second half. And my first thought when Jamal Murray hit that jumper right in Anthony Davis's eye, number one, was tough day for Anthony Davis to say he should be Defensive Player of the Year.
He's going to be out with an eye injury now.
Yeah, like I know it's a bad matchup, and it was a great shot by Murray and everything else, but like you come out and say I should be Defensive Player of the Year and you give up the game-winning shot right in your eyeball, tough. Number two.
Day-to-day eye.
Why can't Tatum hit shots like that? Why doesn't he? Why can't he? So that was my
Tatum's
first thought.
Tatum's not good.
No, that's a good reason, okay, Mego. Nice.
Noro.
A good reason.
Come on, Noro.
Anyway, under. My real answer is under.
I'm going to say over. I think that the Celtics are going to have some close games here. Maybe not in this Miami series. I think that that's sort of a wash. But if they get Milwaukee, if they get the Knicks, if they get some of these other teams here that have come to play and are not going to be taking quarters off, I don't think, they're going to have some close games. And when I say buzzer beaters, I mean, listen, the Celtics winning the games on buzzer beaters would be nice. But just coming down to the last shot like that, Knicks-Sixers game last night, Joel Embiid had a chance to hit a three at the end of that game, and he missed it. So that counts as a buzzer beater to me. I think the Celtics are going to have close games. I think they're going to come down to the last shot.
I was going to say, sorry, DiVincenzo had like three different chances at the game winner before he ultimately hit
the
one.
Big so ragu. That was a nice one there. So I go over in 2.5.
All right, let's keep going.
Number two.
Now, assuming we live in a magical place where the weather is beautiful and gorgeous out there in Cleveland, number two, I just had it right here. Over-under on innings that Tanner Houck will pitch tonight. Arcan, the over-under is set at 6 innings.
Now, Tanner Houck is doing something that hardly any other pitcher's done so far this year. He's going about 6 innings in all of his starts, except for one where he went 5 2/3, and he's allowed only earned runs in one game.
Well, the complete game three hitter was awesome, too.
Yeah.
Hour 49, that was awesome.
And that was against Cleveland. So, I mean, this is a team that he'd be, if they play, going against again. They're going on the road. I say he goes into the sixth inning. I say he continues this streak. I think Tanner Houck has sort of figured it out. He's not trying to overpower people. He's not going to blow out his arm. I think that he's got a good mixture of speed and off-speed stuff, and I think that he's going to continue this. So I say he goes into the sixth inning tonight if they play.
I was just going to say he won't because I don't think there's going to be a game. So I'll take the under anyway. Look, Houck's been on a good run. As I asked Brad Foe earlier this hour, if you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, free, easy, get it on your phone, why wouldn't you? But I asked him this earlier, I said, well, at what point do we have to start believing in the rotation? I still don't. I don't think it's sustainable. So if they're going to come crashing down, he's going to have to do it. I will take the under on my Red Sox tonight and Tanner Houck tonight. What's number three?
Real quick, an unnamed source has told me that the gates have been opened at Progressive Field.
Yeah, good. Get him in there.
So thanks to Keith for that, my unnamed source.
Let's get this game in, okay? We don't want doubleheaders.
I mean, really, let's
we don't want doubleheaders
happen.
Screwing everything up this week.
Really get the
play
the
game. Play the game, Cleveland. Play the game.
Number three.
Adam Jones, how many career regular season wins will Andy Reid finish with? He is currently at 258. The over-under is set at 310.5.
Okay, let me fact check myself real quick. 310.5 would put him not quite at the top of the regular season wins list, right? It would put him, just shy of actually Halas and Don Shula. I'll take the over. I think he's got a real good chance at setting the actual record. Now, Arcan, that number you just gamed out, right? You just figured 10 wins a year for the next 5 years.
10-plus years wins a year for the next 5 years.
I think they're going to go over that. And I think Mahomes and Reed are going to start really breathing down the necks of Belichick and Brady. Mahomes, Brady was already dealing with. You were hoping if you wanted Belichick's 6 Super Bowls to last and, you know, him to be the one to pass ultimately Don Shula, you were hoping Reed was going to walk away in the next year or two. This extension says he won't. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I think what you said makes a lot of sense, but I'm going to go with the idea that, number one, Patrick Mahomes doesn't last all 5 years in Kansas City, either with an injury or he ends up going somewhere
else. He walks away.
As in the owner and the coach push him out the door like they did with Tom Brady here in New England. It's a common thing. It happens all the time to the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. They get pushed right out the door. So I'm going to say under that, but I still think they could get pretty close.
Okay, there you go. It's triple play. Each and every day at this time here on Jones and Mego with Arcan, whether Mego's here or not, still triple play each and every day. We'll see if we have this game. Rich Keefe should be taking over about 15 minutes from now with pregame coverage taking you up to the Red Sox and Guardians. But again, that's TBD given the weather in Cleveland. We'll wrap things up with your phone calls next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.